A school teacher gave her second graders a lesson on the magnet, what it is, what it does, how it works, that kind of a thing. And the next day, the teacher asked her students this question to quiz them over what they had learned about the magnet. She says, my name is six, this is the question. My name is six letters. The first one is M, and I pick up things. What am I? And when the test papers were turned in, the teacher was surprised that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. It starts with an M, and it picks up things, right? Mothers pick up things. So they pick up after their kids, and too often they pick up after their husbands too, don't they? Now is the appropriate time, wives, to elbow your husband. But mothers are so much more than that. Mothers are teachers. They're disciplinarians. They're oftentimes the cleaning ladies, yes, but and they're also sometimes the gardeners and the mowers of lawns. But most mothers understand, hopefully, that baking cookies is way more important than washing windows. But mothers are also nurses, they're doctors, psychologists, counselors, chauffeurs, coaches, and so much more. Mothers are heroes, aren't they? Mothers are developers of personalities, they're molders of vocabularies, and they're shapers of attitudes. And mothers are often that soft voice that says, I love you, every day. And here's what really is profound to me, and something I've began to realize more and more, is that mothers are really oftentimes a child's first impression of the love of God. Mothers are all of those things, and there's so much more. Mother's Day is traditionally the day where children will give something back to their moms for all that they've done and all the misery they've gone through for all the years of raising them. You know, all the, this was my mom to a T, by the way, all the old gum that they held in their hands, right, in church. I was often chewing some gum, and when it was nasty, I'd say, Mom, I need to spit my gum out, and she'd look for something, can't find it, and right, all the time. So they hold all the old gum in their hands, all the noses that they wipe and bloody knees that they've made well with their kisses. This is the day that mothers are rewarded for washing the sheets in the middle of the night, right, driving kids to school when they miss the bus and enduring all those football and soccer games in the rain, right? It's a day of appreciation for making your children finish something that they didn't want to finish, believing in them when they didn't believe in themselves, sharing in their good times and in their bad times, for being there for their first dates and their first heartbreaks, their first steps, their first words, all the way to their last days of school. And here's something profound that I think is true. Moms don't want bad things to happen to their kids, but they also want their kids to succeed and to be great in the face of trials. And they push them to succeed in the midst of everything they face. And I'm mindful of today. For many of us, it's a day of great celebration. For many of you, you may have lost your mom, or may never have had a mom who portrayed those godly characteristics. But what I want you hopefully to see today, that it still is a day worth celebrating, because the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, who fills all voids within our life. And so as we do, I want to look at a really interesting scripture. You're going to want to turn here. Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to start in verse 20. And I want to read and talk about a mother in scripture that you may not have expected me to talk about on Mother's Day. And I'll share with you why in a moment. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came with Jesus and her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? Jesus asked. And she said, you remember the story? She says, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? And we can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. This morning, I want to talk about who I'm going to call Miss Zebedee. And this is really interesting to teach on this passage in the way that I'm going to teach on it, because I've taught in the past about her and about this situation, never on Mother's Day and never in this light, but often I've looked at her as if she was prideful and boastful and arrogant in this moment. Have you ever felt that about her? As she comes to Jesus and she says, "Hey, my kids need to be the best. They need to sit at your right hand and your left hand," and all the other disciples hear it, and what's their response? I mean, they don't like it, do they? Because they recognize that she's trying to elevate her kids above the others. And so often you look at this and you say, "Oh, there's just some bad qualities about her." And am I saying that this was a perfect moment? No, but there are some things about her as a mother. I think there are some qualities that she displays that I've often overlooked. And today, I want to show the good side of this mother and her kids. And so I hope that you'll hang with me here. Miss Zebedee was aware of the teachings about Jesus and his kingdom. It's evident that she understood this, but she was also aware of the fact that her sons James and John were very close to Jesus throughout his ministry. In fact, along with Peter, they were two-thirds of Jesus' inner circle, right? And so they're very close. And so she's just so sure that the Lord is going to establish his kingdom because of her great faith, and that her two boys are going to receive some important positions of responsibility and authority. But what has happened is this. If you look at this whole chapter, Jesus just got done sharing a parable that probably gave Miss Zebedee a little bit of fear, okay? He said that the kingdom of God was like a landowner who went out to find the laborers early in the morning. And then they agreed on a fair day of wages, you remember this, and they start working. And then at noon, he goes out and he finds some more workers, and they agree on a wage and start working. And late in the evening, he goes out, finds some more, and they start working. Yet, when the Lord pays them off at the end of the day, what happened? They all receive the same wage. And the story must have caused Miss Zebedee to wonder whether her sons are going to have important positions in the new kingdom at all. And so when the opportunity presented itself, she came to the Lord. And Matthew says she bowed before him and she made this request. And it's much like a prayer. And she came asking of the Lord, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your kingdom." And when I read that on today, of all days, on Mother's Day, thinking about this lesson, I realized it sounds like a proud mom who wants the best for her two boys, doesn't it? And like I said, we might criticize her for being a little presumptuous. She thought her two boys were maybe a cut above the rest, but don't mothers often do? And fathers as well. And so a lot of times we look at it and say it was a pretty audacious and a pretty bold thing. Well, that I would agree with. It was audacious. It was bold. It was a big request. But she was willing to make it on behalf of her sons because of the love for them. And if you think about it, Jesus never really criticized her for her words. He does say, "I don't know if you understand what you're asking," but he doesn't say, "Well, you're just prideful." And so today I want to recognize a few things. So what are some of the good characteristics about Miss Zebedee that we often overlook? Well, number one is this. She wanted her sons to be a part of the kingdom of God, didn't she? And that is huge. That's a good thing, isn't it? In fact, that's a great thing from her. And she comes to the Lord and she gets down on her knees before him and she prays that her sons might be a part of the kingdom. And I can think of no more important task for moms and dads as well than trying your best to see to it that your children are a part of the kingdom of God. And I know Look, many mothers pray, right? Oftentimes you pray out of necessity, right? I understand that now as being a new parent. Oftentimes the prayer comes in the middle of the night, oh Lord, please help him to go to sleep, right? But sometimes we pray because parenthood and particularly motherhood is not easy, is it? James Dobson tells about the time when he came home and his son Ryan was just a small boy. And it had been a terrible day for his wife. And baby Ryan had been sick and been crying all day. And once, as she was changing his diapers, the telephone rings. And so Shirley reached over to answer it before fastening up his diaper. And it was just then that Ryan has another attack of diarrhea. That's the way it happens, I've learned. And so she cleans him up. And she put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes, and she took him out to the living room, and she fed him, and as she was burping him, he threw up all over himself and her and the couch. And Dobson says, when I came home, the aroma of motherhood was everywhere. And Shirley looked me square in the face, he said, and she responds, was all this in my contract? And, you know, moms, you can identify that with that, I think. Sometimes you just pray that God's going to give you enough strength to make it through the day, to take care of the child. And sometimes mothers do pray out of the frustration of it all. But mothers pray for a lot more than that. I can understand the feeling of the mother. I wanted to share this with you, too, with the three children. And she asks, someone asked her, if you had it all to do over again, would you have children? And she said, of course. I just wouldn't have the same ones. I know that's not true. It's terrible, right? But here's what I do mean. Oftentimes, being a parent is not easy, but it is the most rewarding thing that God has blessed us with. For women to be mothers and men to be fathers and to experience that part of life. And parents, godly parents, do a lot of praying. And when I look at Miss Zebedee, that's what I see for her, a woman who does a lot of praying and wants her kids to be a part of the kingdom of God. And I think that is a huge and important quality for all parents to have, in particular today, mothers as well. We need that same kind of concern for our children. What a great goal for your children that they be a part of God's glorious kingdom. Just think about it. What good is it if our kids make good grades and they go to great schools and they go on to get great jobs and they live in great neighborhoods and have their finances all in order? What good is all of that if our kids don't know God? What does it matter, as Jesus would say, if they gain the whole world yet lose their soul? And so I hope that in the heart of every father and mother in here this morning, watching this online, that there is a burden within your soul for your children to find and enter into the kingdom of God and to live a life for Him. And I will say that I am thankful for Christians who have dedicated their life to this, because we are in a culture now where it seems like a lot of parents that this isn't a priority for them anymore. And it's time for us to get back to that, back to the heart of Miss Zebedee, who says, I want my kids to not just to be a part of the kingdom, but to be at your right hand and your left hand. That's the place to begin. But also she prays that her sons, and I think that this isn't to be mistaken either, but as you look at her, rather than criticizing her, I want to highlight her good quality of praying for her sons to be actively involved in the Lord's kingdom. Look, here's a truth I just have to share. There are so many people in the Lord's church who are just content with sitting in their pews and receiving the blessings that church can give rather than being involved in making a difference. Church was never intended to be a building with four walls with a bunch of pews where we can come and sit and receive only. It's a huge blessing to be able to be a part of an assembly together, to be able to receive the blessings that the church can provide. But God didn't just give us pews to be content in. He gave us a commission to go out in the world and to make a difference, to be actively involved. And that's ultimately the place where that begins, is not from hearing a message from a pulpit. That begins in the home. And this is why mothers are so important, and why I look at Miss Zebedee and say thank you for the faith that you had as a godly mother. It's because she clearly saw that activating her sons in the Lord's kingdom, getting them actively involved in the Lord's kingdom, was a priority for her and for her family. And I'd say her kids turned out pretty well. What do you think? And I highlight that, and I love that, and that's the kind of parent that I want to be, and the kind of parents that I think our church needs, is ones who say, you know what, kids, you're not just going to sit and receive. I'm going to find ways for you to be involved, whatever that looks like. And last, here's the example that I see as well. She had great expectations for her kiddos. Right? She's not just wanting them to go and to be a Christian and to go and be with Jesus. She wants them to be at Jesus' right hand and left hand, and I commend that. There are times, you know, we've got to be humble. Do I want to be the greatest at everything? Hopefully, I'm okay with playing second fiddle, right? And so I'm not talking about humility in life and in character and the way that you live your life, but there is something in Scripture about striving for greatness in your Christian walk. That is a healthy thing and a good thing. And she wants the best for her sons. She wants them to not just be Christians, but to be great Christians. Do you notice that? To sit not just with him, but at his right hand and his left hand. And you think about the way kingdom structure was established. Those were those who held the most power. She expected great things. And here's the deal, mothers and fathers, all parents out there, is that not what you do as well for your kids? You see potential in them, and mothers have a way of unlocking that potential and showing them that they can do the things that they don't want to do or feel that they can't do. I think about my mom and growing up and all the times that I would say, I can't do this, I can't do this. And she's there to say, yes, you can. I know you can. I've seen you do it before. You are able, you are capable, you can do this. And she sees the expectation and has great expectations for them and sees the potential. And mothers have a way, godly mothers have a way of unlocking that potential in their kids. And by the way, the most important thing, if you don't get anything else, make sure that you walk away with this. I really believe, as I look at the love of a mother, that that is exactly the kind of love that God has for us, that Jesus has for us. I mean, think about it. That's what he does all throughout Scripture, is he unlocks the potential in us. We look at ourselves and say, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I'm not capable. I'm not able. And God looks at us and says, oh, yes, you are. From the beginning, when Moses says, no, I can't do that. I can't speak to those people. He says, yes, you can. Gideon says, I can't do that. That's not for me. And he says, yes, it is. David's just a little boy with a sling. And he says, oh, you'll slay giants, right? He looks at you and he unlocks your potential. And godly parents do the same in their kids. And that's what Miss Zebedee was doing for her boys, I truly believe. She saw greatness in them. And they did become great in the kingdom of God. But of all the things of a mother's love, there's one quality that stands above the rest that I want to share with you. And it's that a mom's love for her kids is sacrificial. And you see that from day, no. From the very beginning. Through the journey of pregnancy to having the child, to nursing, to providing, every level from the child's birth and beyond, a mother is sacrificing for her kids. And so for all you moms out there, thank you for the sacrifice that you've given for us, because that is exactly the kind of love that God has for us. And oftentimes that's the very first impression of the love of God that kids ever see, is the love and the sacrificial love that you have for your kids. I think about the story of Solomon Rosenberg and his family, and it comes out of the horrors of World War II and the Holocaust that took the lives of so many millions of people. And this is a true story. Solomon Rosenberg, along with his wife and their two sons, and his mother and father were arrested, and they're placed in a Nazi concentration camp. And it was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you are able to do your work, you're permitted to live. But when you become too weak to do your work, you will be exterminated. And so Rosenberg watched his mother and his father as they finally reached the day where they could no longer keep up, and they marched off to their deaths. And he always knew that his youngest son would be the next in line for his family, his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. And so every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor, and he searched for the faces of his family. And when he would find them, they would all huddle up and hug one another and embrace one another and pray together and thank God for another day of life together. And one day Rosenberg came back and he didn't see those familiar faces. And he finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, crying in a corner by himself. And he said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." And Joshua turned and he said, "It's true, Papa. Today, David wasn't strong enough to do his work, and they came for him." "But where is your mother?" he asked. "Oh, Papa," Joshua said, "when they came for David, he was afraid, and he was crying. And Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand, and she went with him." You know, stories like that present such a beautiful truth wrapped in such a terrible tragedy, don't they? That's the wonder and the power of the love of a mother and the love of our Savior, Jesus. And when I hear that story, I realize just how similar it is to Jesus, who takes our hand and he goes with us. And my mind naturally goes back to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, as they're cast into the fiery furnace, and there the presence of the Lord or an angel or Jesus or whoever you think that angel or that godly figure is there in the midst of the flames with them. Just like that mother with her son who takes his hand and says, "I'll go with you." Jesus joins us in the midst of the flames of our life, and the godly mothers who sacrifice for their kids do the same exact thing. But what I love is that Jesus takes it a step further, as not only does he grab our hand and join us in our pain, he takes our place on the cross, and he sacrifices himself and his life for us. What a beautiful story of love it is. And so on Mother's Day, as you think about your mothers, or the kind of mother that you want to be, or the kind of parent that you want to be, or dad you want to be, or the kind of brother or sister you want to be, the kind of person and Christian that you want to be, I hope that your mind is brought back to the sacrifice and love of that Christ has for us. And what a beautiful love it is. And so at the beginning of our lesson, we read this scripture. I want to read it again because this is that kind of love. Paul says, "No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, present or future, nor any powers, there is no height nor depth or anything else in all of creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so my prayer for you this morning and my challenge is, if you haven't stepped into that love of Jesus, then there's no better time to do that than right now. So won't you come as together we stand and sing.